Today, I have another really special episode because I decided to bring my husband on. And I don't know if you'd exactly call this an interview. It's more of a conversation. So many of my listeners and followers over the years have asked me questions about our relationship, especially over the last 2 years as I was dealing with major injury and 10 different surgeries. Many of you have been curious how we've handled our hardships together, how Daniel handled me being in and out of the hospital so much over the last couple of years. But before I dive into this conversation with him, I want to give you a bit of an overview of our relationship. We have been together for almost 20 years. It's so crazy to say. So 20 years in February. And I just remember being younger, thinking, how do people stay in relationships for more than a year or two? Like, how do you not get bored with each other? But I can say we've been together almost 20 years and I haven't been bored. You know, a lot of people have seen the most recent stuff, me going through injury and Daniel being by my side. But before that injury hit, we lived a very adventurous life, mountain biking, snowboarding, traveling. And I'm telling you that I really believe in manifestation. I know that I haven't talked about it a lot on this show. I plan on talking about it in the future, but I've been able to manifest a lot of success in my life. And one of the tangible things is my relationship with Daniel. Before meeting him, I remember telling my friend, I was in San Diego, and I remember telling her that I'm ready to meet somebody and share my life with them. Like, I lost my legs a couple years before. I had a kidney transplant a couple years before. I did a lot of work on myself and I had dated a little bit in between, nothing serious. But I remember telling her, and I was getting ready to go to Crested Butte, Colorado on a snowboard trip. And I remember telling her, you know, I feel like I'm going to meet somebody and this is what I want. I want him to be well-traveled. I want him to be adventurous. I want him to love snowboarding as much as I do. And then not 2 weeks later, I met Daniel. And when we first met, he didn't know that I had two prosthetic legs. So we talk about that today. We also answer a lot of audience questions like, do we want to have kids? Did we ever talk about having kids? What was that conversation like? We talk about what it was like when he first found out I had two prosthetic legs. You know, how did he tell his family? Like, was it even a big deal? That's something that I was really curious about. We also talk a little bit about his adoption and how he recently found his birth family. And because this week is Giving Tuesday, which is all about supporting your favorite charity, we talk about founding and running our nonprofit organization together, which is called Adaptive Action Sports. And we talk about getting snowboarding into the Paralympic Games and what that journey was like. He also brings up something at the end that I wasn't exactly prepared to share publicly. But after listening to it back, I thought, you know what? I think it's good because I think it shows how we got through it together. At the age of 19, I lost both of my legs below the knees, which changed my life forever. It made me dig deep and build my resilience. And through that, I've been able to accomplish some amazing things. I'm a 3-time Paralympic medalist, New York Times bestselling author, Dancing with the Stars runner-up, and a world-renowned motivational speaker. I created this podcast to cheer you on and to remind you that every challenge must be met with one question. How can you not just survive life's challenges, but thrive through them? I'm Amy Purdy, and this is Bouncing Forward. The first thing I asked him was to share the story of how we met.
We met in Crested Butte, Colorado. You came out for a snowboard camp with some other adaptive riders. The first time I saw you was actually not the night that I met you, but it was in a bar called the Black Whale. And I saw you from a distance and I thought you were absolutely gorgeous. And I remember smiling a couple times at you and I couldn't catch your attention. And eventually we left and I was like, man, I should have said something to her. Fortunately, the universe was working in my favor. And the very next night was Super Bowl Sunday. And there was a place called the Rafters, which was the Base Area bar. And it was this massive place, very cool. And they showed the Super Bowl on a big screen. And so I went and you happened to be there with the group. I watched you from a distance again for a little while and then eventually got up the nerve to go say hi.
I remember seeing Daniel smiling at me. You were playing pool. And I kept thinking, that guy is so cute and he has the prettiest smile ever, but he needs to come talk to me. I had just had a kidney transplant maybe a year before, and I lost my legs a year before that. So I think I was a little bit nervous too. And I was wearing jeans, so there's no way you saw my legs, but I was a little bit nervous as well. And I don't know if I was confident enough at that time to get up and come talk to you. So I was like, if he really wants to talk to me, he can come talk to me.
Right.
And then you did. And I think what I was really impressed with is I was sitting at this table with people who were obviously disabled. Like there was someone who was blind, who I was leading around. There was a kid who was in a wheelchair. There was a couple other amputees. I think we had an arm amputee. So, I mean, it was pretty obvious that we all had disabilities, maybe except for me because I was wearing jeans. And I was really impressed that you comfortably approached the table and you introduced yourself to everybody around the table. And then you introduced yourself to me. And then you asked if I would play pool with you. And I remember just being really impressed by that. I thought you were very much so a gentleman.
Oh, thank you. I had worked, there's an adaptive sports center there at Crested Butte. And I had worked for a short time volunteering for them. And so I think I was very comfortable with the group of individuals that you were with. And you were so gorgeous, I couldn't pass up the opportunity to come say hi.
Really? Are you being real right now?
Yeah.
He didn't know I had prosthetic legs at this point because I was wearing jeans. And so we were playing pool and you were wearing a skateboard hat. I remember it was Circa. And I had that exact sticker on my leg.
I thought it was Osiris.
Maybe it was Osiris.
It was Osiris.
It was, well, I had that exact sticker on my leg. And so I thought that it would be a perfect way to break the ice. I pulled one pant leg up and I said, oh, we're twins. And then I pulled up the other pant leg and I was like, oh, I've got two.
Yeah.
You didn't really have much of a reaction to that, to be honest. I mean, what did you feel like when I did that and I showed you my legs?
Well, when you pulled up the first one, I was like, oh, rad. And then you pulled up the second one, I was like, even radder. That sounds cheesy, but seriously, I mean, I was impressed at that point because there you were with this beautiful natural gait. I had no idea. I mean, there was literally no tell that you had two prosthetic legs and your personality was glowing. And we had enough time to have a conversation and enjoy each other's company for a little while before you did. And I thought to myself, this individual is so glowing and happy. Obviously, she's been through some times, but to have that awesome positive attitude and to be there with me enjoying that moment was admirable. And I was impressed.
So you never felt like, whoa, that's weird?
No.
I mean, I never got that from you. As soon as I showed you my legs, you were like, cool. Want to go snowboard tomorrow?
I was at that point had already seen you for who you were.
So we ended up snowboarding the next day. Snowboarding was a huge passion of mine and a huge passion of Daniel's. And you ended up driving me to the airport and you tried to kiss me.
I wasn't sure you were going to bring that up.
You tried to kiss me. But then I didn't kiss you back.
No, she turned her face and gave me her cheek.
I did. Because I just still, I think I was scared to let myself go too much, you know? Mm-hmm. I was like, this was great. This is fun. But now I'm flying back to Vegas and I might never see you again. And
yeah,
I didn't want to kiss you and then really, really like you.
See, I was trying to kiss you to make sure that you did come back.
Right. By the way, his brother ended up living on the exact same street that I lived on in Vegas.
Wild.
We figured that out later on. So Daniel flew in to visit his brother.
Yeah. I was like, yes, this works out great.
Yeah. There was a question for me. If I felt uncomfortable dating with my legs or, you know, sharing my legs and my situation. Actually, I have a really funny story that I just now thought of. I did not want to tell Daniel everything that I went through right off the bat because it was a lot. I lost my legs, my kidneys, my spleen, the hearing in my left ear, all when I was in the hospital. So when I first met you, I just told you about my legs and I didn't tell you about my kidneys and I didn't tell you about my hearing or any of that stuff. Because for me, I think it was, you know, I didn't want it to be overwhelming for you. But then I ended up being in the Sunday paper. It was about my, it was about my story and I was going to be on like the cover of the paper and I didn't tell Daniel about it. We were, you know, we were kind of doing long-ish distance at that, just dating, talking on the phone at that point. Right. And so I didn't tell him I was going to be in the paper. Then I remember the Sunday paper came and I got up and ran out the door, grabbed the paper so I could read it. And before I could read it, you called me and said that your brother saw me in the paper and sent it to you. And you like already read it. Like you read the paper before I read it.
Yeah.
And I was like devastated at that point because the headline was girl loses her legs, kidneys, spleen, hearing in her left ear and like survives to tell the tale.
I knew the whole story then.
Yeah. So it was just was like everything that I didn't want you to know all at once.
I got it.
You suddenly got it. And I was like, well, there you go.
It's all on the table now.
That's it. It's everything.
That article, didn't it have a photograph where you were super tall walking with your sister and mom?
Yes. I had really weird legs on in that photo. It was like my first pair of snowboard legs. And I was tall. I was
tall.
5'10".
Yeah.
And my mom was 5'5". And my sister was 5'5". And I had my hair in a bun on top of my head. Like
you
a really so, big bun.
And so tall.
The whole thing was so awkward. I was like, oh, that's it. It's over.
When this comes out, you should post it on your story so they can see it.
I will. Anyway, so we ended up doing long distance. There's a few questions if we've ever done long distance. So we did long distance for a bit where Daniel was in Colorado and I was in Vegas. He'd come visit me. I'd visit him. And we were like loosely dating at that time. We knew we liked each other. I got to go home with you to Virginia to meet your mom and to meet your brother and to meet your sister, Delara. And you have this incredible group of friends that you grew up with. Like these are kids that you went to elementary school with and you introduced me to them. But I always wondered, what did you, like, how did you tell your family and your friends about my legs? I mean, not that I want to make a big deal out of it. I don't. And not that I thought it was a huge deal, but I always knew I was different. And I'm curious, how did you approach that with your family and your closest friends?
I was just straight up. I don't think I danced around it at all. I just said, hey, this girl, she's got prosthetic legs and she went through a bunch and she's really awesome. And I really dig her. Honestly, I left it that simple. My friends and my family are very open-minded and very supportive of me. And I was straight up. There was no reason for me to kind of beat around it. I wanted to prepare them because it's a part of you and what you've been through. So I did. I told them.
Okay. So I should just say Daniel and I have been together 19 years. It will be 20 years in February.
In February.
Isn't that crazy?
It was wild.
And then we got married in 2015. So we were together for about 13 years before we got married.
And of course, the next question will be,
why did it take so long to get married? We were really focused on our organization, which we started, Adaptive Action Sports. We started that in 2005 in San Diego. And that was our passion. And we got really busy because of that. The whole idea for Adaptive Action Sports started because we were both passionate about snowboarding and skateboarding and action sports and the whole lifestyle. And there was a lot of support for people with disabilities and other sports like swimming and skiing, but not surfing and snowboarding mm-hmm. and mountain biking and the stuff that we loved.
Yeah.
So we started the organization together. Mm-hmm. We're both founders. And it really was just a very organic part of our relationship.
Oh, yeah. I had had some experience with the adaptive programs that I worked at. And then my mom works in the nonprofit industry. And so she kind of always instilled in me, whatever you do, make sure that you're giving back. And it really was this awesome symbiotic snowball.
Yeah. We wanted to help kids. We wanted to help wounded veterans. Daniel was so resourceful with helping me snowboard again and skateboard again. He made this really cool pole that we put on a skateboard so that I could skateboard the boardwalk in San Diego. We figured out how to get me to do the things that we loved and that I loved. And then we realized we really could help other people do this as well. So we started that in 2005. I feel like, and I don't know if you feel this way, but I've always felt like it's like our baby, you know, because it's something that we always put equal energy into and we grew it together and it took on a life of its own. So mm-hmm. we had to manage it and take care of it. And we were both executive directors of it. Actually, Daniel's getting ready to go to Europe tomorrow because the organization now is training athletes for the U.S. Paralympic snowboard team. And the organization trained me, even though I'm a founder of it. I also was kind of a beneficiary. Is that a word? Mm-hmm. And then we collectively amongst other organizations around the world were able to get snowboarding into the Paralympic Games for the very first time.
That was a massive achievement. Yeah, I think it was the Netherlands and the Canadian Snowboard Federation, and then us. And we were simultaneously working on the same goal. And we created a world championship event that we hosted.
Yeah. So, Adaptive Action Sports hosted the very first world championship for Paralympic snowboarding.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was amazing. That was before we had sponsors. That was before there was any financial support. It wasn't a real sport at that time. It was us trying to get it on the map, mm-hmm. you know, us trying to show the world what we were capable of and what these athletes could do.
Yeah.
And we'd fly to New Zealand and do World Cups out there. And we'd fly to France and do World Cups out there. And eventually in 2011, we found out snowboarding would be a part of the 2014 Paralympic Games for the first time. That's when I went from being an executive director, trying to create these cool programs for everybody, to focusing on being an athlete myself.
Mm-hmm. A big deal.
Would you ever have known at that time, or like even when we first started dating, that I would
turn into a superhero? No. I mean, I don't think either of us could have predicted where our trajectory was leading us. I mean, it's so cool what we had achieved and what we accomplished with the organization. And it's absolutely amazing what you've accomplished for yourself and within Paralympic snowboarding. How cool. It's so cool. Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's so amazing.
That's really where my career then took off mm-hmm. because I went from working behind the computer to wanting to be the best athlete that I could be. And then you took over executive director roles mm-hmm. fully. A few people asked what Daniel does for work. Daniel runs our organization full time, and he's done that for quite a few years.
Yeah. And then through that too, we've also created some amazing partnerships with the Dew Tour.
Also the X Games as well.
X Games as well.
So in order to get snowboarding into the Paralympics, the way kind of the route that we took, we were able to get adaptive snowboarding into the ESPN Winter X Games for mm-hmm. the very first time. Mm-hmm. That's huge. That's the largest action sport event in the world. And we got adaptive motocross into the Summer Games.
Yeah.
We got adaptive skateboarding into the X Games.
Yeah.
And now into the Toyota Dew Tour.
Yeah.
As well for summer and winter. So Daniel not only runs the organization full time, and it's based in Copper Mountain. So we have a headquarters up there, and we've got what, like 10 to 12 athletes training full time right now?
15.
We had a lot of new women, which is amazing, all in the hopes of making the Paralympic team.
Right.
And so I wanted this episode to come out this week as well, because it's Giving Tuesday, which is all about supporting your favorite nonprofit. And Daniel's going to be at this time. When this comes out, he'll be in Europe for 25 days, training the athletes, coaching the athletes. There's multiple World Cups happening and multiple camps happening out there.
Yeah.
If I was still snowboarding or if I wasn't injured, then I would be there as well.
Yeah, you for sure would. I remember a couple of years ago, you were like, maybe I'm done snowboarding and it's okay. But then as we got closer to this season, I could see that like competitive spark in your eye. And I can tell if you were ready to go, you're going to go.
Yeah. Before this injury, I thought maybe I would retire.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm like, man, if I could snowboard again right now, if I could compete, I would jump in a heartbeat.
Right.
Because I love it so much. Just right. being an athlete, like that to wake up every day and know exactly what you're doing and know that you're pushing hard for something.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I love the work that I do and I'm always working towards something and working on different projects, being an athlete is unlike anything else I've ever experienced in my life. And it's one of the most fulfilling experiences because it's like a mental game. You're constantly trying to win your own mental game. And there's nothing like sport that makes you think on your feet and make decisions in the moment, like competing at a high level.
Right.
And we're able to help a lot of other athletes do that as well. I want to mention really quickly too, that we've got multiple athletes that live with us. Some people know that. I've realized I haven't shared it that much, but we've had athletes living with us for many years. And Zach is one of them. He's lived with us since he was 14, pretty much sleeping on the couch. And then he's lived with us full time for many years. And he is on Team USA now. And there's a really good chance he'll make the Beijing Games coming up in March. So, okay, this goes into the number one question people asked is, have we talked about having kids? Why don't we have kids?
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of do have kids in a different way. We didn't raise them from diapers, but with our organization, we're overseeing a lot of athletes and we're like their second parents.
Mm-hmm. Like Zach's the prime example because he came to us when he was 14. You know, we love him like a son and he's just an awesome kid and we love him so. But when it came time to actually have a conversation about having kids, it was right before the games, the first games.
I was 34 and my 35th birthday, I was going to make the decision if we were having kids or not.
Yeah. And so I think as we got closer to that, the conversation became serious a couple of times and then the games became a reality and things had to shift for you quite a bit because you really, in order to have a shot at it and to be a real contender, you've got to be committed. And to be an athlete at that level consumes you all the time.
Right.
And so it would have been really hard. So then we thought, okay, let's get through this games and maybe it'll be something that we revisit. And then the next games came around.
Well, no. And Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars happened. Yeah.
Right. Because so the games happened, it overlapped with Dancing with the Stars. So then that happened.
Yeah.
And that was life changing.
Yeah. Doors are opening. You're on tour with Oprah. You're
right. Right. I was in New York writing my book for 6 weeks.
Right.
Then I was on a crazy speaking circuit and, you know, all the different events and different things happening. So kind of before we knew it, I mean, 2 years passed right there or a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
But then that's also kind of amongst that time when we decided to get married as well.
Right. And the timing for when we got married was absolutely perfect. I mean, if we had done it any earlier, it wouldn't have been the same celebration.
Yeah, it was meant to be. Mm-hmm. It was meant to be at the time that we did it.
It was.
You know, and I look back, I remember wanting to get married early on. I feel like within 4 years, I was thinking, okay, we've been together for 4 years. Like we should be getting married just because, I don't know. I mean, you just have this idea in your mind that you should be talking about marriage at that time, right? But I'm so happy we didn't get married early on because when we did get married, there was no doubt that we were obviously sharing our life together.
Mm-hmm.
And we also had amazing people in our life at that time. And even the year leading up to the wedding, we met some of our closest friends at that time. So they were able to be at the wedding.
Right.
It couldn't have been better. We had Winona Judd at the wedding.
Yeah, and Cactus Mosher.
And her husband Cactus, they actually sang at our wedding.
Fantastic. They sang Grandpa, and Amy and her grandfather danced to it. So good. If I watch that video now, I'll cry.
Yeah, I cry every time I watch it.
Amazing.
I grew up listening to the Judds. And so then to have Winona Judd singing at the wedding, my whole family grew up listening to the Judds.
Singing Grandpa while singing. You were dancing with your grandpa.
Yeah, exactly.
Get out.
And we had a rainbow that day.
And a deer ran through the scene.
My sister's an interior designer, so she designed the wedding. We did this in a month and a half.
Yeah, it was full on stone soup. It was like just the whole town pulled together and just made it happen. It was awesome.
I kind of feel like that's the way weddings should be. Like, don't, that's one piece of advice that I have. Don't make your wedding like too far away because you'll rethink everything. We didn't have time to rethink anything. I got my wedding dress 2 weeks before we got married. It just was what it was. Mm-hmm. And it was exactly how it was supposed to be.
I love that day. I wish I could relive it.
So this year, so this kind of goes into a few of the other questions that came in. Obviously, things were really challenging over the last 2 years because of the injury that I had. But Daniel, over the last 2 years, also had shoulder surgery and then had back surgery this summer. It's interesting because I think my audience oftentimes thinks that I've been through a lot and they're supporting me, which you are, but a relationship goes both ways and you've been through a lot as well. And so, you know, I've been able to support you the best that I can as well.
Yeah, 100%. And one of the biggest things for me in the last couple of years was I was adopted as a baby and I've been reunited with my family, which is just a whole crazy story in and of itself. And we could talk about that for an hour, but that's been huge. And you've just been such a massive support in that. And it's just a big piece of it. And
that right there, that, I mean, really, I'm kind of thinking we do another episode down the road about that.
I mean,
really about adoption and your story. It's, it should be a movie. It really, really is so crazy. Like I almost don't even know where to get started except that Daniel's met his entire birth family and it's incredible. And they're so supportive. And Daniel's got three full sisters.
And my mom and dad are together and happily married. And I love you both very much.
If you're listening to this,
I want to just mention, because I think I've been asked this question a lot. How did my family react to me finding my birth family? But my mom talks to my birth mom, Rosa, more than I do, I think. And my brother was there also with my sister-in-law the weekend we met, and they're just super supportive.
Everybody is open arms to everybody.
Yeah.
Nancy, your mom, it just absolutely loves Rosa. They talk all the time.
Yeah.
And she was very supportive of you guys meeting and now Rosa being a part of your life.
Yeah.
I realize I didn't say this early on, but part of the reason why I decided at the age of 35 that we weren't going to have kids was because I have a kidney transplant.
Yeah.
And my doctors had said, you know, we don't know what the immunosuppressive medication does to your fertility and your eggs. You know, they just said, we know for a fact at 35, things start to decline a little bit. So I always set it in my mind that by my 35th birthday, I'd make that decision. I remember waking up on my 35th birthday and thinking, okay, this is it. Like, we're either going to have kids or we're not. And for me, it was never worth risking my kidney because my kidney is the greatest gift of my life. It's kept me so healthy. There is a chance that your kidney will fail if you get pregnant because your kidneys are one of the first things to fail if you have complications during pregnancy. And so I've just always felt massively grateful for my health and my kidney is keeping me healthy and I never wanted to compromise it. There are a lot of people, though, I have to say, that have had babies and kidney transplants, and they've been fine. You definitely can have a healthy pregnancy. But for me, it just wasn't really worth the risk. And so we decided not to. But the thing that's funny is we still, ask each other a lot, right? Like, do you want a baby? Do you want a baby? Should we have a baby?
Yeah. We'll either meet somebody's baby or we'll watch a movie. Often we're like, kind of feel like, should we?
Right.
But then we talk about adoption we're like, oh my God, well, we've got three kids living in our house right now. We kind of already are parents.
Right.
And then of course, Huckleberry Gene, we love him to death.
He is our baby.
He is our baby. I spoil him.
Yeah, I know. We love him so much. And with everything that I've gone through over the last 2 years, I really thought, thank God we don't have kids, because there was definitely a period of time I couldn't really take care of myself. I had so many surgeries. I was in so much pain. We were back and forth to doctor's offices and hospitals. And I thought, if we had kids, you would have your hands full. And so I was actually very grateful that we didn't have kids at that time. I know that you figure it out if you have to.
Right.
But I think it was enough on our shoulders to just take care of what I was going through at that time. And before the next question, I want to share with my listeners that my Live Inspired jewelry line with Tiny Tags launches this week. If you want to know one thing that I've been up to while healing from all the surgeries I went through over the last 2 years, I was designing this collection. I wanted my followers who relate to the Live Inspired mantra to have a symbol that you could wear that represents resilience. So we created an arrow with the idea that sometimes you have to get pulled back in order to go forward. So I designed the line for all of you. I hope you love it as much as I do. The link to check out the collection is in my show notes and on my Instagram. I'm going to ask a couple audience questions.
Okay.
How did you find strength when I was going through such pain and anxiety and our life being flipped upside down all of a sudden?
I mean, it's been tough. It's been difficult. I mean, really, it has. It was hard to see you go through all that. It was heartbreaking. And I just tried to maintain an even keel and try and be the rock as best I could for you. But it was really painful to watch you go through everything that you did. And I'm proud of you and impressed by how resilient you are. And I love you so much.
I love you too.
Honestly, the strength that I found was just because I love you so much, genuinely. And I mean, it was hard to see you go through everything, but I knew that I had to kind of help pick up the slack. I don't like that term. Let's rewind.
Well, you did. You like, because you were like doing the dishes and cleaning the house and driving me to doctors. And I mean, plate of work as well as your own.
Right. And I've become quite the chef.
Yeah. So you started cooking a lot. I think that it's brought us closer together because we shared those moments of driving to the hospital all the time or you being by my side
twice a week
in the hospital.
Yeah.
And then you cooking. And I appreciated so much what you did that I think it made me appreciate you even more and even more grateful that you're my husband. And so I think it brought us closer together.
I think it did for sure. And then obviously, during all of that, we've got COVID. And so it was
right. And then we were like, just like,
we were in the house, kind of hermits, like everybody was, started working from home. And then
yeah,
but it kind of worked in our favor that way. I don't like to talk about COVID in any kind of favorable way, but
you know, it worked in our favor. It did, because it shifted my career online.
Right.
I was able to have multiple surgeries and recover from them and not, I actually didn't have to take any time off of work.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a very interesting couple of years for us.
Yeah. One of the questions that came in was, do we have any creative date nights or date ideas due to quarantine and like us not being as social as we all used to be? You are really good at romantic, creative things. Like even sometimes, I mean, this was a while ago, but I was having a hard day and you picked me up with wine and bread, and we just went for a drive and we watched the sunset. Mm-hmm. Just little moments like that. Daniel's really good at being spontaneous and very thoughtful and romantic. Like, those little things are very romantic. You do a good job at that.
We have fun.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, and that's one of the questions. How do we think our relationship has lasted as long as it has through everything we've gone through?
Right.
I think it's because we have a lot of fun.
I think that's a big, part of it for sure. We have a ton of fun. We laugh a lot. I belly laugh with you, I think, more than anybody. I mean, so it's fun. I mean, we definitely crack jokes and we get each other's humor. And then at the same time, we do enjoy an awesome date night or going out and being in nature and playing with the pup. You know, obviously every relationship can get serious and goes through times of hardship and difficult moments, but being able to trust each other in those moments that you have each other's back and then smiling and laughing is a lot of what's kept us healthy.
Yeah. One of the questions was, what's our favorite things about each other? I think my favorite thing about you is that you make me laugh so much. Nice. Like every day, all day. You're also very nurturing.
For me, like, I like taking care of you. It makes me feel good. Make sure you're safe and happy. And so it's easy for me to like fall into that role and I enjoy it. I would say my favorite thing about you really is your drive and your resilience. Like, you're so highly motivated to accomplish your dreams and your goals that it makes me want to be a better person and try and strive for my own goals.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, this podcast is bouncing forward. It's all about bouncing forward through our challenges and thriving through our challenges. And also about living an inspired life. So if somebody is out there who is listening, who's not feeling motivated, who's not feeling inspired, I mean, you and I know what inspires us. We love the outdoors. We get to snowboard every day. But if somebody's feeling not motivated, what kind of advice would you give, at least to help inspire them to find the things that they're inspired by, if that makes sense.
Everybody's got that dream, that daydream that they have, or that project that they'd like to work on. And we just get bogged down with our own fear of, you know, that inner talk of, I can't do it, or I don't even know how to get started, or any one of those negative narratives can pop into your head. And it's so easy to not take the first step. But oftentimes the first step is the hardest, but it breaks open the dam. It breaks open the levee and allows you to start to inch towards achieving your dreams. And so take that first step. Make sure that you spend enough time thinking about what it is that you want to achieve and then take the first step. I mean, for us, I couldn't imagine a cooler job than I have right now. It really fills my cup. I get to snowboard, I get to skateboard, I get to do the sports that I love. And at the same time, I get to help other people live a full and happy life. So figure out how to take the first step and take it, and then see where it takes you, see where the path leads to next. And I feel like when you do take that first step, the next stone in the walkway, it appears.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so you take that first step and you're like, well, I don't know quite what I'm going to do or how I'm going to achieve it. But when you take the first step, the next step appears, and then you naturally take it, and it becomes a progression, and right. And there it is.
Right. I think a lot of times we want to know the path is clear and laid out for us before we take that path.
Right.
We want to see like every step along the way is going to fall into place for us.
Right.
But yeah, I think this is a common kind of philosophy with everybody who I've had on the show, which is you really have to take action.
Right.
And then a lot of times that's when the inspiration hits.
Absolutely.
Like, you kind of have to take action before you're inspired, but then through that you get inspired.
Totally get that.
And then the path reveals itself.
Yeah.
Three quick fire questions. I ask this to all my guests. Finish this sentence. Inspiration to me feels like...
It feels like winning. Inspiration is what is the spark that helps you move forward with your own ideas. And how valuable is that?
I mean, that's I interviewed Jonathan Fields, and his book is Sparked. And the whole idea is that, yeah, inspiration is the spark to motivation to do the things that you want to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
What is the last thing that inspired you?
Honestly, you. The other day, we learned something that I don't know if you're telling your followers.
What?
About your hips.
Oh, well, I haven't.
Well, you don't have to, but we...
Well, I will now.
Okay. Your reaction to going to the doctor and learning what we learned was you giggled and you made sure that I was okay, which was really funny because I was not okay.
No, you were not okay.
And then you made sure that I was okay. And I remember thinking, how is she doing that? And it was inspiring and I really appreciated it. And then once I came around, I was able to offer my support, but you really handled that well. I mean,
so I found out for the first time in 42 years that I have hip dysplasia, which sounds crazy because I always thought, oh, it's like this disease or like a degenerative disease.
Which happens to dogs.
That happens to dogs. And that's what I said to the doctor. I said, so like what golden retrievers have? Like that's what I have?
No.
But the reason I went in is my hip kind of came out of the socket the other day, mm-hmm. which sounds really bad. It was really uncomfortable. So I went in right away to an orthopedic surgeon and they did an x-ray and they said, oh, you have hip dysplasia. And I was like, since when? Like,
what?
What is this? And then they were like, oh, no, you're born with it. And I was like, how have I not known this for 42 years?
42 years. And you are now just finding out. Like, I feel like we've had so many images done of you, whether it's
X-ray
or even an MRI. And like, how did nobody notice this before?
Right. Right. So it's not degenerative. It's not really anything I have to worry too much about as I get older. It's something that I just have to make sure I really strengthen my legs and my hips. And I've never noticed it because I've been an athlete for so long. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm not as strong, I notice it. You were really concerned about it and it made you really sad. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I mean, I've had this for 42 years and it never bothered me before. So as long as I can get strong again, it probably won't bother me again. So yeah, I was kind of comforting you.
You were.
Okay. The last question is, do you have a song that inspires you or what do you listen to when you want to get inspired?
My musical palette is kind of all over the map. When I was road cycling for a long time, I'd listen to Buena Vista Social Club, which I just was super inspiring to get on the bike and ride to that for some reason. But, you know, when I skateboard, I'm listening to old punk rock music out of DC or Jane's Addiction or something along those lines.
What about snowboarding?
When I snowboard, I actually just like to hear the wind and my edges and the sound of the snow, but I get inspired by a lot of different music.
Yeah.
I mentioned Jane's Addiction. They've got the song called Coming Down the Mountain, which I just, the mountain song. I love that song. Such a great song.
I'm doing a playlist at the end of this.
Oh yeah. All the mountain song. Put that one in. That's okay. A great one.
Thank you so much, babe, for doing this with me.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
This is fun. Having you to our living room. Cheers. Awesome. Thanks so much, babe.
Yeah, love you. Mwah.
If this episode inspired you, please make sure to share with someone else or on your social media. And also make sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Thank you for listening to Bouncing Forward.